Please stand, if you would, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God. The book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, chapter 1. We'll make it really easy for you. Acts, chapter 1. And listen, if you want to know what church is supposed to be like, you better pattern your life after the book of Acts, okay? Because that's where we get a lot of the things that we do and such as far as a local New Testament church goes. But here we're going to look at something, and once again, you understand that just last week, we celebrated the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And remember, He did rise from the dead, and He was seen of many witnesses. And it is important to pay attention to what Jesus did and said these days before He ascended up into heaven. And that's what we're going to look at today. And I want to bring out a point to you. And this is you can call it a motivational message. You can call it a kick in the pants. I don't care what you call it. But it's going to motivate you, okay? And that might be a little strong today. But that's all right. Right? It's okay. Just buck up right now, okay? It's going to be okay. And I'm doing it because I need it too, all right? There have been times in my life when I just needed to be kicked and said, get going. And we sometimes we need to do that. But let's look here at Acts chapter 1. And again, I'll read the odd verses because I am odd. And you get to read the even verses because you're so nice and even. And that's how it works. So here we go in Acts chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 11 this morning. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive, after His passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee. And may I say today, who also said, ye Christians of America, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. And folks, that's kind of the charge today, is why stand ye gazing? A lot of times we love God and we've accepted Christ, we have salvation, and we come to church and we go home and we go to work, and we come to church and we go home and we go to work, and basically, if you will, we're just standing there gazing. In the military, we call it skylarking, just standing around, looking up in the air. No, there's a purpose. There's something to be doing. Get going. Get busy. He said, these angels came down and said, hey, all right, He's gone now. Quit looking up there. Go do what He said. Go on. Shoo, you know, get going. And that's what we need today. Why stand ye gazing? You know, it's a joy to serve the Lord and to be able to be here. And, you know, when we have the right kind of purpose in our life,
Things just get happier. You know that? It is. People without purpose are distressed. They're unhappy. They're miserable. And when we have the right purpose, of course, it makes things much better. And we're able to do what God wants us to do and be what God wants us to be. As I mentioned, we're looking at a record here. Of course, we know that Book of Acts, written by Luke, the beloved physician, and he's writing to this person named Theophilus. And I don't know, maybe if I have enough kids, maybe I'll name one of my kids Theophilus. But who knows? But the thing is that this is a record of these things. And we don't know necessarily that if Luke was ever around at these times to actually physically be eyewitness of them, or whether he was just told these things as others had recited them to him, and he was just well educated and able to write things out and such and in record. But whatever the case may be, we have an account here in Acts chapter 1 of what Jesus did and said to his disciples after he had risen from the dead. And I love what these angels say to the people. And of course, these people that were there, these 120 disciples, they loved Jesus. They stayed with him. They saw him after he had risen. And of course, they were just eating up every word that he said. And every time he was gathered together with them, and they were so excited. So you can't really blame them, if you will, as they're standing up there and he's telling them these things, and this cloud comes and receives him, and he's kind of going up into heaven. And I mean, that's pretty miraculous, folks. Okay, so I'm not going to fault these folks too bad here. All right, that's an amazing event to see happen. All right, how many of you have ever let a balloon go, or accidentally seen a balloon go, and you watch it go up in the sky, right? And you can see it for quite a ways, and then it, all of a sudden, it just kind of fades off and disappears, right? Well, that you can imagine that's kind of what it was like for them, right? Of course, Jesus is a much more beholding of an object than a balloon, okay? You understand. And so he's floating up into heaven, and at some point, he's not going to be able to be seen anymore, right? By the human eye. And so I think it's at that point that they're kind of still looking. They're like, and really, I mean, don't you think in their mind they're going to say, well, what's going to happen next? You know, oh, what? This is amazing. What's going to happen now? And so they're standing there, and these beings, these two men stood by them in white apparel. And they just make a comment. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Folks, this event is done. Don't just keep standing there.
Wow.
Go. Go. He said go and go. And so please understand. That was probably an appropriate reaction, and that's probably why those angels were there. But to get it, all right, folks. All right, now it's time to go. And can I say, Christians, we've experienced salvation, being rescued from sin and from destruction and from condemnation by Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing, and we want to just revel in that and just stand gazing. Oh, that's amazing. And that's great. I mean, and you ought to not ever lose that feeling. But now go on, get going. There's something else to do, and we've got to understand that we've got to keep moving forward. We've got to keep pressing toward the mark, if you will. And you know, all the armor that God gives us is for forward progress. Not for turning our back and going the other way. We've got to press forward. God wants us to move on and to keep going. A lot of times we just get stuck in neutral. And we need to get out of neutral and put it in drive and get going. And so basically just the title and the message today is just to kind of, if you will, spur you on a little bit. I grew up riding horses. I do own a horse. It's up in North Dakota, my brother's house. Listen, sometimes those horses need a little bit of motivation to get going, all right? And maybe they don't want to go, but you want to make them go, right? And so we've got to do that in our Christian lives. Go over to Luke chapter 24. We're actually going to look at the different recordings here of this last event with the disciples and Jesus before he ascends. And in Luke 24, and beginning in verse 49, we're going to visit here the first go. In Luke 24, and verse 49, in this account of before the Lord's ascension, he says in verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And of course, Jesus said that back in Acts, it was recorded there in Acts chapter 1. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So the first go is go and receive power. Why stand ye here gazing? Go and receive power. Jesus said the power is going to come. Remember, he told them, "I cannot stay, because if I stay, I can't send the Comforter to you. I can't. We're not both going to be here at the same time. I got to go so he can come, and you are going to receive power." Can I tell you something, Christian? God wants you to go in power. He wants you to go and receive power so that you can do valiantly for him in your life. God wants us to be successful. He doesn't want us to be failures and flops and unsuccessful, worthless people. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to live a life and live it abundantly. And he wants us to be a witness, a lighthouse, and the salt of the earth. And not salt that has lost its savor, but rather savorful salt and something that's worth something, not to be trodden underfoot of men, but something that's valuable and something that's powerful. Hey, can I tell you, salt is powerful? It is. It's powerful. And you know what? A little too much of it is too powerful, right? One of my aunts was making chili one time, and she was putting some salt in, and somehow the cap had gotten loose. And she was just shaking away, and all of a sudden, poof, it's like, oh no. And she did her best. She got a spoon, and she, you know, kind of scooping it out, but that was the saltiest chili I've ever eaten, okay? It was a little too much, but you understand, we ought to go and receive power. Don't just stand around, gazing, living in the moment of things. We need to go and receive power. Jesus promised them. He said, "Hey, I want you to go into the city. Wait there until the power comes." And guess what? We know in Acts chapter 2, the power did come. And they were filled with power and with the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But in Acts 10:38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Did you notice what Luke said to Theophilus, "Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments." So even Jesus, the Son of God, who three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he, through the Holy Ghost, commanded them. And in his earthly ministry, through the Holy Ghost, he healed people. Through the Holy Ghost, he had power. And can I tell you, folks, through the Holy Ghost is how we're going to be empowered in our lives. And we need to go and receive power. We need to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God has got to be upon us. We understand that when we are weak, he is strong. And God needs to be strong in us so that we can be strong for him. We must receive power. In Romans 15:13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Hey, this power is not manufactured by us, folks. We do not have power in and of ourselves. It is His power. Remember, it's the power of His might. And it's God's strength in us. It's the Holy Spirit in us that gives us power. In Acts chapter 13, the story is recorded about Paul and Barnabas. It says, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Hey, they weren't just going to stand there doing nothing. They just said, "Okay, you know what? All right, we'll go somewhere else where they want to hear the word of God." And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were bold in their witness. They had the power of God resting upon them. And God was evident in their life. Is God evident in your life? Does anybody else know that you're a Christian? Hey, listen, you should be able to tell whether or not a Christian is around. Yeah, it should just be all over them. Remember how Moses, when he came down from the mount, being with God? Yeah. They had to put a veil over his face because it was kind of frightening. Anybody threatened to put a veil over your face? No? Hey, listen, I understand maybe being dressed like this, people might say, "Oh, are you a pastor?" But I was at a grocery store one time, and I was in jeans and a t-shirt, and somebody asked me, "Hey, are you a pastor?" I didn't know this person. I don't know how they knew it. Maybe I had walked with God that day. I don't know. Something wonderful, because I was glad, not for my own pride, but I was glad they noticed that I was a Christian. And yes, I was giving out gospel tracts, but do you understand? Receiving the power of God and having the Holy Ghost in us and through us, that people take notice. We ought just not stand around gazing, but rather go and receive power. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, it says about Jesus, "And a child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And then later in Luke 2:52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man." And listen, we ought to increase. We ought to become more powerful as the years go by, not less. Hey, your initial visit with the Holy Spirit of God upon the moment of salvation shouldn't be your most filled point. Shouldn't be. And then digress from there. But rather, we should be filled with the Spirit on a daily basis. Go to Acts chapter 2. We see that the filling was fulfilled. Okay, and no intention on playing on words there. Look at verse 4. "And they were all filled." What did they do? They went to Jerusalem. They gathered in one accord in one place. They did what they were supposed to do. They were shooed away by the angels. Say, go on. Don't stand here gazing. And it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." And we're not going to take a sidetrack here today, but you understand that speaking in tongues is not a heavenly language. These were known languages so that they could hear, like it says in verse 8, "And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born." So they were filled with the power of God, and they had this ability to to have these other languages heard of them so that they could hear the wonderful works of God. It says in verse 11, and they were all amazed. And we know that after this sermon, 3,000 people were saved. Hey, is that power?
Yeah,
that's power. It's God's power. Miraculous power that the disciples received because they believed Jesus and his words. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Folks, we don't need to stand around gazing. Listen, can I tell you? The Bible says something about redeeming the time because the days are evil. We don't have time to waste. We don't have time to just mill about and say, wow, look what God did in my life 10 years ago. No. What's he doing in your life today? Don't just stand around gazing. We need to get busy and receive power and go on for the Lord. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is kind of like, hey, why stand ye gazing? Go to Jerusalem. Go receive the power. Go do what Jesus just told you to do. You need to get on with it. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean? Be filled with the Spirit of God. And I don't have time to illustrate, but can I tell you something? That being filled with the Spirit means more of Him, less of us. Okay? If I'm strong in my own power and might, then God cannot be strong in me. Because I'm full of me. I'm full of myself. And I'm full of my human frailties. And I'm not empty so that He can fill me and He can empower me and He can use me. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Less of me, more of Him. And folks, we've got to be filled with the Spirit of God because we see throughout Scripture, and listen, I don't have time to go to all the places where it's referenced about the Holy Spirit of God and about the power of God and about how God is doing the work, not me. It is Him in me that's doing the work. And listen, I don't have time to go through that, but I do need to tell you, don't just stand gazing. Don't just stand there just awestruck. Go receive power. Empty yourself of yourself and be filled with His Spirit and do the work of God. Go receive power. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. So in Luke 24, we see Jesus mentioned to them. Also in Acts 1, we see it mentioned that they needed to go and receive power of the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit. We know that as the disciples went out and they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I neglected to read Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's receiving power and being filled with the Spirit of God. Here in Mark chapter 16, it mentions another element that we need to do and not stand around gazing. Look what it says in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Listen to verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. They went. So they didn't just stand there gazing. They went and they received power, and they went and preached the gospel to every creature. How many people pass by you each day that you do not preach to? And I'm not telling you to go preach at people. You're a dirty, rotten sinner. Repent and be saved. Okay, no, that's not using very good tact. Okay, I don't recommend that you do that. But you know what? Little gospel tracts preach. Oh, they do. They do. They're the greatest little preachers anywhere. Little gospel tracts. You know why? Because they're kind of unassuming, aren't they? Ah, it's just a little pamphlet, a little piece of paper. Boy, that's got some preaching in it, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God will not return to us void, right? It will accomplish the work whereto they send it. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew chapter 10, it says, I tell you in darkness that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hey, we're supposed to go preach. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid if people make fun of you, or if people say, well, you're just a lunatic, or you're just a crazy person. You're one of those Bible preachers. Ha, ha, ha. Fun, fun, fun. No, listen, just preach. Preach the gospel to every creature. Go and preach. Don't be afraid of what may happen. We need to go out and preach. In Mark 3:14, it says, he ordained the 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. That's what they were supposed to do. And listen, ladies, it's okay. Go preach the gospel to every creature. You need to tell them about Jesus. We need to say Jesus saves. We need to get out there and we need to do the work of an evangelist. We need to go out and preach the word of God. In Luke 4, verses 17 and 21, it says, and there were delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me, what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. We're to preach. We're to go out and tell people that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. He can save them from their sins. And he will if you call upon him. We're to preach the gospel. Don't just stand around gazing. Go receive power. Don't just stand around gazing. Go preach the gospel. In Luke chapter 9, it came to pass, and as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't let the things of this life, the cares of this life, cumber you about. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Go out and be a witness. Remember what he said in Acts 1:8, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be. Remember he says that he stood there, he went with them for those 40 days and he commanded them and told them what they were going to do. And he said, hey, you are going to go out and you are going to preach and you are going to suffer persecution and you are going to see people saved. You're going to see the work accomplished because my work's going to be accomplished and you're going to help me do it. Don't just stand here gazing. Go preach the gospel. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Hey, have you ever had that feeling in you? That little spurring of the Holy Spirit of God saying, hey, go give them a gospel tract. Or stop that guy and talk to him. Or see that lady over there. I've got somebody coming by your house. Listen, I'll tell you this. Yesterday, we're getting ready for soul winning time and going out in our community. I walked around the church, and in the parking lot, there's a man with a motorcycle. He's standing there looking like he was standing there looking at the motorcycle. Kind of bewildered a little bit. And looking at the motorcycle, he's just standing there. He got his helmet on and stuff. And pretty soon an SUV came, and I guess later on I found out it was their wife. I grabbed a gospel tract, and I went out there, and I said, hey, is there anything we can do to help you? I said, oh, no. I said, I think it's just out of gas, and my wife's here. She's got some gas for me, and we'll see if that works. And I said, well, and he goes, yeah, we live right around the corner. I said, hey, we'd like for you to come visit sometime. Gave him a gospel tract, talked to him a little bit. You know, you understand, we've got to do our part. God had him run out of gas and come in this parking lot for a purpose, for a reason. Now, the man didn't get saved, but I was at least able to plant a seed. I mean, God wants us to do what we can do. And he gives us opportunities. And we ought to not be afraid to go out and preach the gospel unto them. In Acts 17, verse 3, it says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and has risen again from the dead, that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Go over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 is a wonderful portion of Scripture. Can I tell you something? The pastor of the church is not the only preacher. So that's your job. You're supposed to do that. Well, yes, I am. But so is the Christian. We're all supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say in Mark 16:15, rest of you disciples, just stay put over here. All right, you 12 that I've ordained, that I've made, okay, I want you to preach the gospel to every creature. The rest of you just be supporting, you know, go to church, sit in the pew, give tithes and offerings, sing songs of worship, you know, and you guys, you're going to be the preacher. That's not what he said. No, he said unto them, go ye and preach. We're supposed to preach the gospel. We're supposed to be witnesses, whether or not we're the pastor. But look here what it says in Romans chapter 10. And look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Or how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Hey, who did Jesus send to preach the gospel to every creature? All the disciples. They were all supposed to tarry in Jerusalem, and they were all supposed to receive power, and they were all supposed to go into Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth to preach the gospel to every creature. Folks, we don't need to stand around gazing. We need to go receive power. We need to go preach the gospel. And then go to Matthew 28. We see the other account of this time with Jesus before he ascended. And in Matthew 28, in verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 20 though. Not just salvation, but teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, the Great Commission is not just seeing people saved and baptized. It's seeing Christians grow and live the Christian life. So we don't need to just stand around gazing. We need to go receive power. We need to go and preach the gospel. And we need to go and produce fruit. And produce fruit that remains. In John chapter 12, verses 23 to 26, Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Go over to John chapter 15. We see the illustration of the vine and the branches. In John in chapter 15. And in verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Folks, are these the things? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. These are the things. We need to abide in him, and we need to bear much fruit, because that's what he is wanting us to do. We need to go and produce fruit. Hey, you ever heard this before? God didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. Yeah. Yeah. We don't need to be sitting on the premises. We need to be standing on the promises. We need to be going forth and doing the work of God. Don't just stand here gazing. Go produce fruit. Go produce fruit. Hey, remember when Jesus, we talked about the triumphal entry a couple weeks ago. Remember when he came back into the city, he was hungry and he went by the fig tree, and it wasn't the time of figs. But didn't the fig tree know that this was God? The fig tree should have produced some fruit for him. He was hungry. Hey, listen, folks, he cursed it. He said, that's unreasonable. Well, you know, we give a lot of excuses. I was told in my early life that excuses are like armpits. Everybody has two and they both stink. Why stand ye here gazing? He's going to come back. He's coming back. So go do it. Go do what he commands you to do. Go be productive. Be fruitful in your life. Don't just waste time. You know what Americans are good at? Wasting time. Hold on. I know this is a dumb phone, but I'm going to pretend. Hold on, let's play Candy Crush. Move that over there. Pop that bubble. This thing here. Come on. We spend way too much time wasting it rather than redeeming it. We need to produce some fruit. We need to be in him, abide in him, and produce much fruit. Hey, the fruit, the branches that do not produce fruit, The Father's going to cut them off. The ones that do produce fruit, He's going to prune them, purge them. Why? That hurts. Ow, 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 ow. Why? To produce more. Hey, in the springtime or in the fall time, whatever time that's right, if you're a horticulturist, you would know, you want to purge the branches so that it can produce more fruit. Not to hurt the tree, but to help it to be more productive. God does things and brings things in our lives, the storms, the trials, the tribulations in our life, to purge us so that we can produce more fruit and be more productive. God wants us to be productive. In John 15, 16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Yeah. Remember he said about the corn of wheat? Unless it dies. Listen, when that thing goes into the ground, it doesn't sprout up a new plant to produce one kernel, one grain. It's to produce more. And then those 10, 20 fall to the ground and 20 more plants grow up. And what happens? 10, 20. And then those 10, hey, that's exponential growth, folks. Not just singular. It doesn't go in and die and produce one. And that one goes in and dies and produces one. And that one goes in and dies and produces one. And that one goes in and dies and produces one. What's the point of that? It'd take a long time to get enough to make a piece of bread. But if one goes in the ground and produces 20, and 20 go on the ground and produces 400, 20 times 20 is 400. Okay, we're okay with the math there, right? Yeah. Hey, now we're getting somewhere. And those 400 go on the ground and produce 8,000. Now we're doing good. Everybody like the math so far? Are we okay with that? All right. Now we're doing great. Right? 120 go into the upper room, filled with the Spirit of God, 3,000 saved. That's amazing. A couple weeks later, or there's not a timeline exactly given to it, 5,000 saved. And then they go to multiplied multitudes, because there's too many to count. That's wonderful. And guess what? That fruit remained. And then it was through tribulation and trials and troubles, spread abroad through all the rest of the world. Folks, God wants us to go and produce fruit. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I just wanted to just maybe give you a little spur today, just a little tap. Maybe not a swift kick, but just a little tap. Why stand ye gazing? Go. Go be filled with power. Go preach the gospel. And go and produce fruit. We've got something to do. Don't stand around gazing.